Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. We have a very special guest today joining us. Haven't talked to her in quite a while. She spent some time down in Nashville. And we're going to be debuting one of her new songs. I'd like to welcome to the show the one and only Kat Beal. Kat, how you doing, girl?
How are you? I'm doing very well. I got a little bit of a cold, so I apologize if my voice sounds funny.
Oh, it's okay. I don't know if I needed to send you a reminder or what, but you've been busy lately, so things tend to get a little jumbled.
Busy.
I would have sent it sooner. But I was like, nah, last time you called in, I didn't need to send one, but, you know, you just got back in town and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yes, it's been quite a week. So how's everybody out there in radio land?
Well, everybody's doing pretty
good.
The racing season is getting ready to wrap up in a couple of months, and then I'll be bored to tears till like February.
Aww. So what's
That's
the new with you?
Me? Well, not much. Just sitting here on a mountaintop talking to one of my friends. That's you. Actually, we should talk more often off air and that
we
kind of thing.
We should. I see here and there, and I appreciate all the comments and support that you all give out there. So thank you. It's a huge blessing.
Well, it's a blessing to be your friend. Let's put it that way. So, it's just strange how you get a friend request, and you sent me one, and I'll be fair. Like, you know, you get some of these phony ones. I'm sure you get them too, with strange people you don't know, and then you go checking the things out, and yours actually happened to be true. So, so I accepted. And lo and behold, and we've known each other for about the better part of a year now.
I'm glad we made that connection. Yes. Yeah, it's been wonderful.
So you've been a pretty busy lady singing at football games, and you got to sing at the Mecca of country music, the Ryman Auditorium. How was that?
I did. I got to sing on the Ryman stage a song that I wrote last summer. We released the I Believe album, and Blue Velvet Eyes was on there, and we had ourselves a very receptive audience, and it was a huge blessing to be able to do that. It's a dream come true for me, as it is for many country artists, I'm sure, any artist, and so I feel very blessed that I had that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to having more opportunities to play at the Ryman, and you know, I would love to do the Grand Ole Opry as well.
I always thought they were part of one and the same, or I guess not.
They kind of are. The Grand Ole Opry was built kind of to start doing the Grand Ole Opry is a radio production. And so they needed a new place to house it because the Ryman was falling into disrepair. And you'll notice on the Grand Ole Opry stage, there is a circle. And that circle is a piece of their original Ryman stage. And so they kept the history there. Yeah, so it's that stage has held many, many, many great, wonderful, historical, phenomenal, epic artists and performances. So the fact that I got to walk on that stage and sing a song that I wrote was an absolute blessing.
Now, were you down with your whole band, or was this a solo thing?
It was a solo thing. I had a couple of my players there for a songwriters showcase the evening before at the Poor House, the P-O-U-R. Very clever name, but it is a beautiful venue. At the lower side of Broadway there, and we had a lot of fun and great company. There were many, many outstanding female artists there showing off their stuff. So we will be back in the Nashville area again next weekend on the 7th. Is it the 6th or the 7th? Which day is Saturday? The days are all running together on me here.
Hold on, I'll get my trusty e-calendar here. Hook you right up.
Wait, the sixth is Saturday. We'll be there at Loretta Lynn's Ranch performing. Okay. So that's a huge blessing as well. All these goals that I thought were far-fetched goals are starting to really come to fruition, and God has blessed every single step of the way.
Well, you deserve it. You've been doing this a while, and it's about time things start going your way. And here's the question. Everybody that I know there's a girl that I know, though. She was on The Voice as a country singer. She moved to Nashville. What made you decide to not move to Nashville and stay up in the Detroit area?
Well, the music that I like to create has a really defined Detroit rock edge to it. And I think, so I've been told, it's what makes me unique in the industry of country music. Also, I have children, and my youngest son is still in school here. So I don't want to move anywhere away from where, you know, he can be productive and focus on his school. He did go down there with me this past weekend, and sometimes he'll decide that he wants to go, but it was a blessing to have him there with me, and my daughter was there with me too, and especially for this female songwriter showcase, and there was such a vibe of female empowerment in the room, and it was just such an awesome thing to have her there with me. And my son, too, to see, you know, the dynamics of all of that. And it was a huge pleasure to have them both there.
Yeah, I saw you the pictures with your daughter. It's like, wow, you could almost pass for sisters. you look that young. I know better, but because we've divulged this off air, but you do look that young.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've seen the compliments to all the pictures you post of it as well, so. Must be that.
Yeah, it's fun. It is a lot of fun, and we have a really close relationship, and I love that.
Now,
but
she's,
I can't up and move to Nashville anytime soon. But I do commute very, very frequently, and I hope to continue to do more shows down there.
Well, that's good, because do you drive or fly? If you drive and you come through my area and you want to pop in, my wife and I would be happy to have you for if you wanted to take a little rest.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I do both. I fly and I drive down. I've been doing more driving than flying lately, just because sometimes it takes a minute to get things taken care of here, and, you know, the trying to coordinate the flight at the last minute when things finally fall into place is sometimes difficult. So it may be easier to just drive most of the time is what I'm finding.
It just takes a lot longer, that's all. But you do have that luxury of, let me go run back and grab this, chuck it in the whatever vehicle you take. And
exactly. And also I do a lot of writing and thinking and focusing on the music during those times where I'm driving. So it really gives me an opportunity to clear my mind and, you know, recall some of the song ideas that I've been wanting to work on. And it gives me a really isolated time to myself that I don't get very often to just focus on writing some new things. And I'm really excited to be, you know, recording the new stuff. And I'm itching to get that out.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, I used to be a driver for a company I used to work for, and a lot of time, I mean, it was driving a cargo van, but still, you know, you used to make the trip from southern New Jersey all the way up to, I think the farthest I've been was Rhode Island, so you get a lot of time to think about
nice.
Things and
yeah.
talk to yourself, but
Mm-hmm. I love traveling anyway. I love God's country, you know, and the trees and the open air, and I love all of it. The scenery, the people, everything. There's always new adventures anytime I stop anywhere, and you know, the trip to Nashville is getting really interesting to me because some of the folks that I have met along the way remember me the next time I stop through. So it's interesting, the friends you meet along the way.
That's for sure. I mean, and then they're new fans, so therefore they get to hear more of your new stuff, and I'm sure you'd like it here. I live 2,500 feet above sea level, and there's mountains around me. I can look at one out in my house and have one view into a valley, and I could look out the front of my house and look at a mountain towering above me. If you go look at my cover photo on Facebook, you'll see what I call an eye-level rainbow.
I'm going to have to go and take a look at that.
And it's pretty, like I said, you probably get a few inspiring ideas just being here. And here's the key. If you ever come down, I have 11 acres bordering a national forest. We could take out one of my toys and go bang, bang.
Nice. I love four-wheeling and horseback riding and just walking and running. I love just being outside. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, fishing. Yeah, I told you I'd like to do some fishing. I don't know where around here you can fish. I know there's places that people go, lakes and things. And I guess one of the biggest areas for fishing around here is like a resort area. It's called Smith Mountain Lake and tournaments there and things like that. So, but that's like northeast
Bass
to me.
Bass fishing is a lot of fun. I had the honor
tried it
and
one
privilege
time.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
The ESPN Bassmaster tournament asked me to do the national anthem and also a performance on their Bassmaster Pro stage, and it was so much fun to be a part of that and to watch the fishermen come in with their bass, and I was just like in awe because I watched those things ever since I was a little kid on TV, and I got to be a part of that, and it was just, it blew me away that they asked me to do that. And, you know, it's one of those memories that you just treasure, you know.
Oh, definitely. And that's pretty cool, too. I mean, you think here's a local girl from eastern Michigan, Trump, raising a family, playing some music, and here you get to do, you did get to do national anthems at the Lions game, so games, I forget which.
The Tigers.
I'm getting old.
The Tigers.
I'm getting old.
I've done the national anthem for the Tigers, and I've done O Canada for one of the Red Wings games with Karen Newman. Karen Newman did our country's national anthem, and I had the pleasure of singing O Canada, and I got some really interesting and wonderful compliments from the Canadian crowd. And it was a pleasure to be able to do that, you know, for them. As much as I love our United States of America, it was still quite an honor to perform O Canada.
Yeah, it is a pretty anthem as well, and they're America light. They're America light anyway, so it's our kind neighbors to the north.
Yes, they are. They are. I literally, right across the river from me, so I get to interact with a lot of folks from Canada, and they're always very, very kind. So.
No, they seem pretty mellow up there, I guess. It's just amazing how you can just cross an area and you see the same type of people, but they're just like a different atmosphere in the air over there. Like the same thing when I went to, now I know it was a tourist area like Niagara Falls, but I stayed on the Canadian side because it's a much prettier sight than the over on the American side looking the other way. And then I went to Toronto, went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I was a big hockey fan growing up, so it was one of the bucket list places was the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Wow.
The thing about the Hockey Hall of Fame is it's at the end of a shopping mall in an old bank building. It's kind of weird how you go in there.
Wow.
and they have like interactive things, like where you can pretend you're like in front of a net and you're looking at a old movie screen. Kids these days don't know what those old movie screens are. And these little soft rubber pucks would come shooting out of them. And you'd be watching these guys skating and stick handling, and out come these pucks, and you'd have to you know, play goaltender and block the shots. That was pretty neat. I stopped 7 out of 10 in flip-flops.
That sounds like fun.
It is. And then they had another one where it was like a net with lights on it, and it would be, you know, and you'd shoot pucks at it and turn out the lights for, you know, accuracy. Then they had the trophy room where they had all the Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe, and all the other trophies that they present, the Lady Bing. And,
oh, nice.
I
am really impressed with the new Little Caesars Arena downtown here, and they have a lot of beautiful historical captured moments from Detroit sports, and it was really, really well done. They have some amazing statues. The artists did a ridiculously amazing job on recreating those moments.
Well, they're revitalizing Detroit a good bit these days from what I've been seeing on TV, and it's a good thing.
I love this town. I really do. I'm so proud of how far we've come, and I'm really seeing the music, you know, grow back into what it should be for Detroit. Detroit is a huge music town, always has been, and so it'll be wonderful to watch that evolve back into the mainstream that it once was with Motown and everything else. And I know Eminem kind of led the way back to Detroit and into the music business, and you know, Kid Rock too. You know, I mean, we got some big names coming out of this town.
Ted Nugent, believe it or not. I mean, everybody gives him a hard time about it. What he does nowadays, but he was one of the in that era with Motown and things like that. So the Amboy Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like the big towns in music were basically Detroit, Philadelphia had that old doo-wop era in the late 50s, and I think in New York, and that was pretty much everything generated from there. And I don't know how Cleveland got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's beyond me, but that's another story.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of good music coming out of the Detroit area, and there's a new rock band out of that area. It's called Greta Van Fleet. I don't know if you heard them. It sounds like a little bit of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I have heard of them. They're doing really well. We also have the Gasoline Gypsies coming up, the group Sponge is out of Detroit. They also have a country band with many of the same members called the Orbitson.
Yeah.
And just phenomenal, phenomenal artists and human beings, to be quite frank. I mean, they're all really, really awesome people.
And the one and only Cat Beal.
It's a pleasure to be in the company of all of these awesome people, I tell you.
I bet it's just, and the fact that you get to perform in the same areas, and now do they interact in the same venues, or do they have like, there's a country place over here, or like the one big auditorium or theater that everybody wants to perform at that comes from the area?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of the venues will cross genres, and so it's interesting. To see the different types of music in these venues. You know, the Three Blind Mice, for instance, is a local venue, and you can see anywhere from hip-hop and rap to country at that same venue. So all the venues are very, very supportive of all the local artists. and all the local artists are family. We all work together on each other's projects. We all are there to support each other's shows and cross-promoting. And it's just a huge, awesome music family that, and I think that's what encourages the cross-genre culture, you know, where we've got a little bit of our, we've got a little bit of that Detroit rock in everything we do. We've got a little bit of the hip hop and the rap, and we've got that country soul still.
That's amazing how, and I think that kind of feeds the, everybody gets to listen to a little bit of this, and if they like you and they hear what you do and you incorporate some of that into your stuff, and they incorporate some of your stuff into their stuff, and so everybody, like you said, gets a feeling like you're all one family over there. And
absolutely. I've worked with a gentleman, a phenomenal rap artist here locally. His name's Solistic. I've done just a little bit of stuff with him. We worked on a hook line together and recorded that. And Mark Miles, locally here too, he was also known as Prophet for a while. And, you know, just watching what they do. And again, they support my music and I support their music. And everybody, you know, cross-promotes each other. It's awesome.
That's pretty good. It shows that where music is and everybody, you know, brings everybody together no matter what you listen to. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
I listen to some rap and, you know, personally, it needs something, you know, like an actual vocal to enhance it a bit.
Collaborate different ideas and the vocals, and you know, it gives it a whole unique flavor when you've got, you know, more than one person working on it. It's interesting, and you know, these guys are so good in the studio too with the production work and everything. It's crazy how talented they are in so many different ways.
Now, when you go into the studio, is everything all digital now, or do they some still use old school tape?
I have never experienced tape. They've all been digital so far. So
I remember
it'd be
years
neat
ago
to see all that.
When I was in high school and a young musician in our high school jazz band, we went to a studio and did an album, and it was weird because everything was individually mic'd. Like my bass cord had a tap wire that went into the mixer, and then it had this tape that looked, you think of a normal house reel to reel and how skinny that is. This thing was like an inch wide, and it was amazing how to get all those tracks and then mix it all together and then come out with something on vinyl.
Exactly.
Now it's all, now you get a recording studio in your bedroom with a computer. If you had the
exactly
space.
You hook it all up to your phone.
Yeah. It's amazing where technology has come from in my era. From Crackly and mono into stereo into, then you had your tapes, which was your 8-track, your cassette, and your CD. Now everything, which I still like the CDs because you have a hard copy of something. If you have something on a computer,
yes,
it can, your computer burps and everything could be gone. At least with a CD, you could always reload it in and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you have it forever as long as there's a way to play it.
Well, I'm
as
sure there will always
be machines that make them work are not obsolete. Exactly.
Well, I have this thing that I bought years ago. It was a CD player recorder, so I could actually burn CDs off of my CDs or my old tapes on the CD. So I have a mixing. I have a little mixing board, and I used to run my stereo through it. So I had a little home studio when I got into and started doing radio, so I knew how to, if I had to mix commercials or things like that. So it was pretty neat.
That sounds like fun.
So your song that you played at the Ryman was Blue Velvet Eyes. We're going to play that in a little bit.
Yes.
And is there anything else you'd like me to, anything recently released that you have up on here on your, oh, if anybody wants to go, then go to ReverbNation.com/CatBeal songs and subscribe and get to hear all
your
work.
Yes.
I have it.
It's also
I have
out there on iTunes,
so right.
CD Baby, and Spotify, and Pandora. We're trying to get it on as many platforms as possible. So I do appreciate your support. It's been a huge blessing.
Well, anything I can do to help you, my friend, because just one of these days, I hope we
Thank
can
you.
Meet in person. So,
Yes, I'll have to come on out that way and spend some time. That would be wonderful.
Who knows? I might even give you a few ideas for a song. You never know.
Absolutely. Inspiring.
Well, I guess I better let you get back to things. I don't know how busy your day is going to be. I've taken up enough of your time, so... Thank you again for coming on.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Vinny. I appreciate it very much. It's always a blessing and a pleasure. And we'll have to schedule some time to come out and visit. I'll bring the band with me. We'll do an in-studio performance. That would be fun, huh?
Sure. I don't really have a studio. It's my dining room table.
Well, there you go. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and I'll touch base with you. See, I always text you, but I don't know whether it's safe to call you, what you're doing. Maybe I'll just text first, see if you want to talk. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but verbally speaking seems to...
Keep in touch.
Oh, definitely. You too. And go check out that Eye Level Rainbow.
I'm going to go look at it right now.
All righty, you take care now, and we're going to go out playing your song, Blue Velvet Eyes.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have Cat Beal with her song Blue Velvet Eyes, played at the Ryman Auditorium.
Great day, she's praising. She was telling lies to save her soul. Too many goodbyes, they brought her down. And now she's getting high. She walked all night, lost on the only road. A lonely room, don't dance, stranger. It don't know you, it don't know all your changes. Step by step, step by step.
There you have Cat Beal, Blue Velvet Eyes. Thanks again for coming on, Cat. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And now let's get into the racing. I love talking to Cat. She's a classy lady, and like I said, we became friends a little while ago, and just amazing the people you run into on the air, and the friends you make throughout this. And I'm always blessed to have the people I become friends with and get to meet. I remember and cherish the life experience. Anyway, in action this past week, we've had NHRA for round two of their countdown, with now there's four to go. And also, NASCAR in round two of their playoffs. What happens there? Let's go to the Top Fuel division. In Top Fuel, we have who is looking to take the Top Fuel crown up against Clay Milliken in the finals. Of course, Torrance had to go through Bill Litton and then Mike Salinas, who has been on fire of late. But and then up against Leah Pritchett, who was having a pretty good year this year in the countdown, but it was Torrence over Milliken in the finals. Milliken had to go through Antron Brown, Pat Dakin, and Sean Reed to get to that final round, but Torrence takes the Wally. Low ET of the day was Antron at 372. Best reaction time, Pat Dakin, 006 in a top fuel dragster. That is unheard of. And Blake Alexander at 333 miles an hour. In the funny car division, Robert Height against Tim Wilkerson. Wilkerson, again, two finals in a row. But it was Height again, making it 0 for 2 for Wilkerson. Height, the defending champ, number one qualifier, went up against Dale Creasy in round one and his boss John Force in round two, then Tommy Johnson Jr. in the semis. Wilkerson, on the other hand, had Matt Hagen, no slouch there. Courtney Force, no slouch there. Courtney had, 11 number one qualifiers this season out of 20-some-odd races. And then J.R. Todd, who beat him last time, he got the upper hand this time, but only to lose to Robert Height. Low ET was a 392 for Tommy Johnson Jr. John Force, the best reaction time in funny car, in 041. And the top speed was Courtney Force. In the pro stock round, it was Tanner Gray taking on Drew Skillman in the finals. Gray winning again. So, and in the pro stock bike, it was Matt Smith over L.E. Tonglet. Oh, the pro stock bike's getting shaken up a little bit. Low ET was Krawick, Eddie Krawick. Best reaction time, Angel Sampei at 001. And then top speed was Matt Smith. As the standings look right now, Steve Torrence has a 70-point lead over Milliken. Tony Schumacher in third, Leah Pritchett in fourth. Brittany Force is in the ninth spot. She's been having a rough year this year coming off her championship. So in the funny car division, things are getting topsy-turvy. Robert Height now takes the lead over J.R. Todd. He has a 30-point lead there. Courtney Force is 70 back in third, so she's not out of it. And Tim Wilkerson is only four behind her in fourth. Ron Capps is fifth. So Robert Height looking to go two championships in a row here. Is in the points lead again, like I said, for the time being with four events to go. Tanner Gray maintaining the points lead for in pro stock, 52 over Vincent Nobile. Seventy-four back is Drew Skillman. Jake Coughlin is 81 back. Greg Anderson is 90 back, and Erica Enders is 104 back and six. So she might have a long road to hoe. Matt Smith is now the points leader, 21 points over L.E. Tonglet. Eddie Krawick is in third. Hector Arana Jr. in fourth. Only 49 back. This could all change in one event. Same with Andrew Hines in sixth. Jerry Savoie is 109 back with four to go. It's going to be tough, but the top five there have a shot at it. But it's just things are changing in the pro stock bike world. Usually it's Krawick and Hines at the top, but they're not out of it yet. Krawick's 41 back, so that's at least two events. So the further along it goes with only six events in your countdown, it makes it kind of tough. on to NASCAR. Only events this weekend were Xfinity and Cup. Xfinity on Friday night. Christopher Bell taking the checkered flag. Ross Chastain in second. Daniel Hemric in third. Ross Chastain in the 42, coming off a win, finishing second. Daniel Hemric in third. Dale Earnhardt Jr. back in the car in the 88. Taking the fourth spot. Matt Tift in fifth. Sixth, Elliott Sadler, Tyler Reddick in seventh. Brandon Jones in eighth. Shane Lee ninth. Ryan Reed in tenth. How the playoffs look there. Christopher Bell right now is the points leader with a win. Justin Allgaier is third, but he has a win as well. So does Ross Chastain. All these guys have wins. Now that the playoffs are in action, we'll see how that looks right there. And the race-winning team of Christopher Bell. With one win, it's round one of the playoffs kick off. So he is the first one who locks into the round of eight. Everybody else fighting for a spot. This was the first round of the playoffs. In the Cup Series, the Big Three finishing 1-2-3 this year, and it was Kyle Busch taking the second race of the round of 16. He moves on to the round of 12. Brad Kay was up there for a little while, led five times for 67 laps, but had a few issues and wound up finishing in ninth. Kevin Harvick was second. Martin Truex was third. He led three times for 163 of the 400 laps. Truex had a pit road penalty and kind of set him back, was able to come all the way back to third. Chase Elliott, fourth. Eric Amarola, fifth. Austin Dillon, sixth. Seventh, Kyle Larson. Eighth, Jimmy Johnson. Ninth, Brad Kay. And Clint Bowyer rounds out the top 10. Truex won stages 1 and 2, which, believe it or not, helps because you still get playoff points. So the ones that Kyle Busch didn't get, which was the stage wins, which would give him 7, went to Truex. Harvick did not lead enough laps, I should say, or win any stages. Harvick led once for 40 laps. So it's a pretty good battle there. Here's Kyle Busch talking about his win and advancing into the round of 12, because the next race coming up, I don't have any data on to make a prediction, so I'm going to have to wing that one, because usually they'll run at Charlotte, but Charlotte is the newly 17-turn, what they call Roval, for the Roval 400-mile road race. That's pretty long for a road race, so maybe they cut it down to the number of kilometers, so it's less laps. Anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. But here's Kyle Busch on his win.
We're now joined by the winner of the Federated Auto Parts 400. Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions, and we'll start to the left with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, taking the cars.net, CRN. When you ran here the last time, you said you won a 60-point lead and a win going into the Roval. You got the win, so how do you feel now?
Feels pretty good. I think I said one or the other, right? Yeah, okay. It's really good to have the win, to be able to go into next week. I think anytime you can automatically punch your ticket to the next round, that just makes it even better. Being able to come here in Richmond in the fall, whoever said I didn't win here in the fall race, again, I didn't know what was eluding us from being able to win here in the fall, but we were able to get it done tonight. So, you know, it was a handful out there, that's for sure. Car wasn't great early, but once we got some adjustments to it, it really woke up, and car kind of came through its continuation all night long of the sun going down and getting better and better. So, good.
Over to Bob and then to Jeff.
When you were in here last, you were also asked kind of whether the big three had kind of lost maybe a little bit of ground to everybody. You all finished 1, 2, 3 today. Is that a sign?
That's pretty good for Truex to get back to where he got to, considering he had that penalty late. So he did finish third, right? Is that what you're saying? You know, I knew Harvick was kind of closing in on us there at the end. You know, I ran really hard trying to pass Brad, race with Brad, and being able to finally get by him. And you could see how hard we ran by how fast he dropped, you know. So, you know, our car was really, really good in the long run. I think Harvick maybe, well, the run before we kind of drove away from everybody. So I just I think it was a factor of me running real hard, pushing real hard, that Harvick was able to close in on us there at the end. My stuff was really, really used up. You know, I lost tons of grip the last 10 laps of the race, so I was just trying to hang on.
And when you were challenging Brad, they kept telling you on the radio to run your race, run your pace. Is that possible in that situation?
Yes, kind of. There were a couple of times where I was inside, and whether I was being held a little tight or I was sliding up, whatever, you know, we were getting kind of close. And in those moments, you know, you kind of tense up, and the car slides, and anytime the car slides, you know, you're putting heat in the tires and you're putting heat into everything. So you try to take a step back, kind of regroup, let everything cool down again, and go reattack. And I was able to do that about twice. Second time, it finally paid off when he was starting to drop. So, you know, I spent a lot of time racing hard with him. And, you know, and then when you spend 15, 20 laps trying to pass the guy and you pass him, then you get run into right as soon as you pass him. It's kind of like, come on, man. Like, really? But, oh well.
Go here in the front to Jeff, and then right here in the middle.
Jeff Buck from JeffBuck.com. I got two questions also. I guess that was the first one, be your hand out the window at him. That I just didn't hear your first two.
Yeah, that was just, come on, man.
Yeah, okay. I was looking for an interpretation. Second of all, after
come
Vegas,
on, man.
After Vegas, you're on pit road and you're like, oh, man, something's way off. You know, we're missing stuff. So it seemed like, you know, you said over the last month, like, you guys didn't really have it. Does this fix, does what happened here tonight fix that, or is that an issue like of a mile and a half track that's separate?
Right, yeah, that's separate. You know, we're just kind of missing a little something at the mile and a half places. So, you know, Richmond, we were good here in the spring, and we're good here again tonight. So whatever it is that makes us have that ability and gives us that chance to be able to go race for a win like that is pretty good, feels pretty good. But tonight's way different than a mile and a half. So, thing or an indifferent thing, we go to a roll next week and not a mile and a half. So we'll see what happens with that. But as far as the next round or even the round after that, you know, there's a mile and a half coming up that we know we need to get better for.
Much pressure as there is in the playoff and as much emotion as you put into everything, how much does winning tonight make the week ahead easier?
It certainly takes a bunch of relief. It would have if we would have not won the race, but been ahead by 60 whatever points with the guys that were on the cutoff, we would have been fine as well too. You know, we could have gone into the Roval and raced our way however we wanted to race. So either way you looked at it, if you were a guy who was in the bottom, you know, if we would have had trouble last week more than we did, and if we would have had trouble again tonight and been kind of at the cutoff line, then obviously it would make for a very, very stressful week and a stressful Roval. And go in there with no worries and try to go and attack that place and see what we can get out of it.
There you have Kyle Busch talking about his win and going to the Roval. Well, let's look at that Roval. Usually I would go pick data from the past couple races at Charlotte, the Coke 600, and the prior Mellow Yellow 400, but with a new layout, 17 turns, it kind of makes it a little different. Now, as they stand, points-wise, playoff points, come into play, but that doesn't dictate where they line up. So here's how it is now, as far as seeding for round of eight, which kicks off at Dover, by the way. So we'll have to get Mike Lewis from Dover on to talk about that. That'll be we'll do that next week, I guess. And these days are going by quick. So Kyle Busch is in first place. Brad Keselowski is in second in the seeding because they're already locked in. Only one person can lock in out of the next 16. So how that looks. Points-wise, Martin Truex has the most points, so he's probably going to lock in. There's no way he's going to be at the bottom of that. Denny Hamlin in trouble. Eric Jones in trouble. They're 102 and 110 back. Clint Bowyer, 87 back. And Jimmy Johnson's 87. Clint Bowyer is 85 back. So if you had to cut it off there, one of those would have to win to move on. Jimmy Johnson, normally at Charlotte on the actual oval, he's pretty good, but he hasn't had that good of a year. Now, Kyle Busch with the win last week ties him with Harvick for 7 this season. So, still that battle going there. Playoff points, Kyle Busch with 55. Harvick with 50. Truex with 38. And Brad Kay with 25. So they're looking pretty good because all these carry over into the final at Miami. So who do I think is going to win? The Roval? I don't know. I'll just have to take a wing at it. I'll go with Truex. He's due for a win and him going with the big three. Well, that's our show for tonight. Thanks again for joining us. Hope you all enjoyed my conversation with Cat Beal. And we'll see you all next week after the Roval. Let's see who else, what's up this coming week as well. I don't know if NHRA is in action. Let me take a quick look at that schedule. Be racing as well, or they might be off. Let's see. Okay. The next event will be October the 4th through the 7th at the Texas Motorplex for the AAA Texas NHRA Fall Nationals. So NHRA has a week off. The Truck Series will be back in action the week after that, the 13th of October. So they're off from the 14th of September for a whole month. So they're probably getting bored. Well, at least they should have their trucks all prepped up. So, and they will be down at Vegas. Well, that's our show for today. Like I said, thanks again for Cat Beal for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.